Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you do for each one of us. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with me now as I read your word and try to expand on it, what you've laid upon my heart, Lord. Lord, may we be fed from it. But we want to be fed from you, Lord, not from what I think or what may be whimsical, people may think of it, but Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I would ask that you interpret it to each and every one as to how we need to apply it in our lives to grow into the people that you would have us be. So Lord, be with me now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I picked a passage from James' Gospel, and it's the whole of chapter 4. It's not that long, but Linda and I go through the Bible in a year, and this was one of the things that came up last week, the beginning of the week, and I felt the Lord speaking to me that it was worth bringing it to the church. It starts with, what causes fights and quarrels amongst you? Do they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that his jealous longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That's why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen carefully, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go and do this or that city. Spend a year there, carry out business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. So reads the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will open up this scripture. Be with me now, Lord, and strengthen me, and allow me to deliver it in your power and with your strength. And may we not just be hearers of your word, but may we be doers of it. For we ask it in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. The title of this morning's message is similar to what was in the Bible for James. It was submit yourselves to God, but I've gone total submission to God. And it's important. There's not many of us like to give anything up, give up our control. I know I don't like being in a car when other people are driving as much as I do when I'm behind the wheel, because I like to be in control. And as human beings, that's inbred in us, I think. We want to be in control. But the thing that as Christians we need to do is to let the Lord have the driving seat and let him direct your steps, because that's what he wants to do. He loves us that much that he wants to keep us safe. And when my family are in the car and I'm driving, I think that I love them that much that I'd like to drive safely, or think I do anyway, drive safely and keep them safe, you know. And the Lord is a better driver than I am. I can guarantee that. In the passage we've just read, James, who was a half-brother of Jesus, is given instructions on the need to submit to God. And the reason that he is expounding on that is because if we don't, then how can we expect to enjoy the peace and the blessings that he wants to bestow on each one of us? You know, if we are not prepared to listen and to be humble, then we're going to miss out on an awful lot of the blessings which he has for us. In the world today, the word submit is almost considered a dirty word. To submit, to give in, it's a sign of weakness, isn't it? You know, the way the world looks at things. As Christians, unless we fully submit to the will of God, I would ask, what then, if any, use can we be as Christians? Just as horses have to be broken in, or trained, if you want, to submit to the bit before they can be of any use, before they can be steered, or been put to the plough, or draw a cart, or we don't use horses so much now, apart from under the bonnet of your car, you made a couple of thousand horsepower under there. But, you know, they need to be broken. They need to submit to the master before they're of any use. And we are just the same. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit so that he can use us for the purpose that he has for us, to build his kingdom here on earth. I think that's why Jesus gave us the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, we read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" You know, James warns us about the dangers of fighting and quarreling within the church, especially if it's about our own preferences and silly things which don't have any pertinence in the kingdom of God, when we should only be interested in his will. He warns us that we need to remember the dangers of judging others. As we read in James 4:11-12, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" We need to be aware of all the devil's schemes and not to let him steal our peace or our joy. We need to remember that although we live in this world, we are not off it. In John 1, chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, we read, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is greater than the one in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." So you see, that's why God put His Holy Spirit into each one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as a helper, as a prompter, to keep us on the right track, to let us know when things are right or when you feel uncomfortable, when things are wrong. And we need to recognize when we have these feelings who it is that is prompting us to do it, and give thanks to Him, because sometimes we think it's us, that we're so smart, we've avoided things. But I believe that it's the Holy Spirit that directs us, and if we listen, and keeps us safe. Now, I'm sure you all know the old rhyme. I used to say it when I was a kid at school many years ago, but I'm sure it's still said today. 16 stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. What a load of tosh. That's the biggest lie that's ever been told. There are many people who never get over the name calling, the verbal abuse they suffered as children. And Scripture warns us quite clearly in James 3, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil amongst the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Strong words. The tongue is, I believe, the devil's favorite tool. And if we let him control ours, he can cause us a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of havoc, robbing us of our joy and our peace, but more importantly, possibly our relationship with the Lord Himself. Proverbs 10, 18 to 19 tells us, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Sometimes it's easy to let loose and just react and say the first thing that comes into your head without giving the thought. But it's essential that as Christians we learn to control our tongue and think before we speak, especially if it's going to be in a condemning sort of a way. Because it's important to remember, once we've said it, you can't always take it back. Once you've said it, the hurt it's caused is going to stick and may not just damage the person who you've said it to. Eventually, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of what you've done, it will hurt you as well. So it's a two-edged sword. Our Scripture is a two-edged sword. Proverbs 12, 18 tells us, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And it's good to remember that, you know, and that's what we should be doing. As children of God, the second part of verse 18, we should be striving to achieve the healing, bring healing to others. I believe that's what the Great Commission is all about, bringing healing to others. Because what greater healing is there to bring someone to the Lord Jesus and knowing that their soul is safe for eternity? There are times, I'm sure, when, just like me, you'll feel under all sorts of pressure of one sort or another and lose sight of which route you should be on. That's when we must forgo our pride and realize that we don't always have the right answer. We don't always know best. We cannot rely on our own strength. What we need to do is to humble ourselves, remembering what James says in verses 6 of chapter 4. But he gives us more grace. That's why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. I don't know about you, but I think that's worth humbling yourself for, if you can be sure of enjoying God's favor. Verse 7 and 8 goes on to say, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What does James mean, you double-minded? We can see it exactly what James means if we look at James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. He tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. I don't think James could have made it more clear what he meant by double-minded. James also warns us about making assumptions about the future and what it might bring. He reminds us that everything is dependent on the world and the will of God. James also warns us not to boast about tomorrow, as we read in verse 13 and 16. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. You know, the older one gets, the more you come to realize just how fleeting life is, and just what we've got to be grateful for, the promises that God gives us. As we can read in Jeremiah, a favorite of mine, 29:11-13, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You notice it says, with all your heart. Half-heartedness will not cut the mustard, as it were. It won't fit the bill. This is made quite clear as we read in Exodus 20:3-5. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in the heavens above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. It's quite clear that God demands wholehearted commitment from his children. It's lovely when you can say, I'm 100% sure. But there's always times when the doubts come in, things go wrong, and the devil will put a little thought in your mind, you know, do you really think that you're that good? And you start to doubt yourself. Well, you can't doubt yourself, but the one person you should never doubt is the Lord. Get down on your knees, humble yourself, and ask for his input, ask for his decision on what you're doing, how you're going about things, and don't be guided by the devil sitting on your shoulder. And don't forget, as Moses did, get the Lord, in the Lord's name, get away from me, Satan. You know, don't try to do that in your own strength, because you'll end up in trouble, I think. It's important that we remember that God is in control. Isaiah 41:13, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." It's important that we remember that the Lord, it's like that old chorus, "He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today." Lovely chorus, lovely sentiments, but they're not just sentiments, they're truths. He does, he lives, and he walks with you and I each day. In everything that we do, he's there. So if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, you can't hide it from him. And I think it's a lovely, we in the youth club, we used to give the kids the wristbands. What would Jesus do? And it's something as Christians I think we need to remember at times. When we feel uncomfortable or we've got a decision to make, to ask ourselves, what would Jesus want me to do? You know, we've got an election coming up. Yeah? It should be in your prayers. What, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because his will be done. And if you operate in his will, you're going to be happy. You're going to be double bonus, isn't it? No, you'll not lose. But if you try to go against his will, you're on a hiding to nothing. That's an Irish colloquialism. When we consider how much God loves and cares us, doesn't he deserve our full attention, our total submission to his will? When we remember that he gave Jesus, his one and only Son, as a sacrifice to make it possible for us to come back into a relationship with him. And it was only because Jesus was willing to pay that price on the cross at Calvary that we can come back to the throne of grace and prayer under the cover of Jesus' righteousness, because we ain't got any of our own. We are bankrupt when it comes to righteousness. So we can come under the cover of Jesus, our amazing advocate sitting at God's right hand. It amazes me, and I'm sure it amazes you, that he loves us so much that he wants to spend eternity with us. I can't get my head around that. Can't get my head around eternity. I can't understand why he wants to spend it with me. But I tell you what, I'm glad he does. He has given us so many promises in his word. And my favorite is part of one we've already done, but there's only one verse I'm going to read this time, from Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." That encapsulates for me how much God loves each one of us. He loves us that much. And all of God's promises, and there are so many of them in the Bible, I couldn't count them. And I'm not even going to try and count them, but I can tell you this, they're all yes and amen. If you want to experience joy, and you want to experience all the blessings that God wants to bestow upon you, I recommend that you totally submit to his will. He wants an intimate relationship with each one of us. As I said before, I don't know why, but I am very glad that he does. And I want to close with a reading from Peter. We started with a reading from Peter, which Heidi read out, and I didn't know that we were going to start with that reading, but this reading was just came to me, and in fact we've done it in our study, but it just came to me this morning. It's from 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. "Therefore rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." When you have tasted that the Lord is good, that he loves you as much as he does, I ask you, isn't that worth total submission? Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just put up with us, accept our humble confessions when we go wrong. Lord, we all go wrong, your word tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we will continue to fall short of your glory until the day that your Son comes and claims us as his own. But Lord, we just ask that you continue to direct us, to strengthen us, to enable us to humble ourselves, because it goes against our nature. But Lord, you are with us humbling ourselves. So Lord, we just give ourselves to you this morning, and we say, have your way with us, Holy Spirit. And we thank you for all your blessings and all that you're going to do for us. Continue to guide our steps and to encourage us to fulfill our part of the deal in expanding your kingdom in this place and throughout the world. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.